Warm greetings to all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please turn with me to John chapter 8, verse 12 to verse 20. John chapter 8, verse 12 to verse 20 is the text for this morning's exhortation. Please follow as I read from John chapter 8, verse 12 to verse 20. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me, nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spoke Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Amen. May God bless us in the reading of his most holy and sacred word. The Lord Jesus Christ very often would use circumstances and what is around him as a very visible, vivid instrument of preaching and teaching. In John 14, when he was with the Samaritan woman, he used the well and he described himself as the living water. In John chapter 6, verse 35, he described himself as the bread of life. And here in the temple, a temple that had been very ornately beautified by Herod, they had been reconstructing, doing major alterations to the temple that was built in the time of the returnees, in the days of Ezra, Nehemiah, and Zerubbabel. The reason Herod did that was to hope that he will be in the good books of the Jews. He was a provincial king under the rule and reign of the Caesars in Rome. And he doesn't want any trouble from the Jews. And so one of the ways to please them was to beautify the temple. And this account of the woman caught in adultery, as well as this treatise that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the people around him, in particular the enemies, the Pharisees. It was held in the treasury, as verse 20 informs us. The treasury was a place where they would put all the tithes and the offerings, as well as a place where the women were allowed to enter into this huge temple ground. They were segregated. The men would go into the outer court. The women will be in this zone called the treasury. And that was where they dragged this woman supposedly caught in adultery. The intent was not to punish this woman, but to trick the Lord Jesus Christ. The Roman law says a woman caught in adultery, breaking of no law. The Jewish law says, woman caught in adultery, stoned to death. But because they were under the Roman government, no one is allowed to put anyone to death except the Romans. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was caught in a dilemma. If he says, it's okay, don't stone her to death, then he would be charged with breaking the law of God in the Old Testament. But if he says, stone her to death, then he would be breaking the law of the Romans. So it was a dilemma that the Lord Jesus Christ was supposedly caught in. And they thought that he could not get himself out of it. But he got himself out of it. Any one of you who have no sin, cast the first stone. One by one, each and every one of them examined themselves. And they slithered away. All of them. And because she had repented of her sin, the Lord Jesus Christ said to her, go and sin no more. After he had said this, he turned his attention to the Pharisees and to the people who were still there. Some of them. Because now he continued to confront the enemies. Because at the conclusion of this chapter, he would be very, very strong with his words and call them liars. He will say that you do not know my father, your father is the devil and he is the father of lies. So this chapter is a very crucial chapter. It is a chapter where there will be a direct and open confrontation between the Lord Jesus Christ and his enemies. And this was how it all started, in the treasury, in the temple. Now the temple at that time would have two very huge, according to the commentators, they use the word colossal. Colossal golden lampstand. And inside these two colossal golden lampstand would be a multitude of small little lights. And they would be placed inside these two huge golden lampstand. And it will shine forth from the temple. And it is said, according to the commentators, the entire city where this temple was located, it will be lit up in the nighttime by these two huge golden lampstand. And so the Lord Jesus Christ made use of the surrounding that he found himself in deliberately to describe himself in this manner, using this metaphor. I am the light of the world. In front of these two huge golden lampstands, lighting up the entire city in the nighttime. And he says that I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, in the present tense, that means anyone who will continue to follow me for the rest of his life, not just continue to follow me in the past and that's it. It is a continuous day-by-day following of the Lord Jesus Christ. And literally the word follow means to be in the same way with the Lord Jesus Christ, like a disciple. Follow his footsteps, literally. That's the meaning of this word. And you are to do it continuously, without end, until you see him face to face. Now, this is the mark of what Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Anyone who says he is following in my footsteps continuously, you shall not walk in darkness. Now, there are many ways to describe a negative, both in Hebrew as well as in Greek. And one of the strongest ways to use a negative is not to put a negative to an imperative. That is a command. That is not strong enough. The strongest way to highlight a negative, to bring forth the idea of you must never, definitely, 100%, absolutely not walk in darkness, is to use two negatives and put them side by side. And that's exactly what you find here. It is what we call the double negative. To drive home the point that you must never walk in darkness. If you say that you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have the light, that you are following in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ, there must be certain do-nots in your life. And it is not a do-not of options. It is a do-not of absolute. You cannot walk in darkness, period. But you shall have the light of life. You shall possess in your heart the light that is characterized by life. That's what it means. The light of life will be yours inside you. That means what you are inside will be reflected by how you are outside. The way that you conduct yourself at home, in church, in your school, in your workplace, all these must be congruent. with what you are inside you. That's what it means. Are you walking in darkness or in the light? Either or, not both and. The phrasing of the words in verse 12 tells us that it cannot be both and. It's either or, because you cannot definitely, absolutely walk in darkness. No two ways about it. That means the fashions of the world are out. That means a life of sin is out. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, describe it for us this way. For ye were sometimes darkness. That means before you were converted, you and I were in darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Different words, but describe the same truth in a different perspective. That means a person who is not born again would have his life characterized by darkness. Now we know from Genesis 1 that darkness is also created by God, light is also created by God, everything is created by God. But we're not talking about the literal physical darkness. This is a metaphor between light and darkness. And in the punishment of Pharaoh, in the days of Moses, God used darkness to afflict the Egyptians. But the children of Israel who lived in Goshen had light. In the last few moments of man's existence on earth, the vile judgment, number 5, before the battle of Armageddon, the Bible said that God will afflict this world of ours with a darkness that is so heinous, that is so frightful, that the people in those days, in Revelation 15, verse 10 and 11, that they would bite their own tongue. Somehow, darkness is something that is very, very overwhelming, that it can cause people to go crazy if the darkness is so thick that you can feel the darkness. And that's what God will afflict sinful men in the last few moments of man's existence before Armageddon and before the millennium. The darkness that is in the life of a sinner simply means that he doesn't know where he's going. He may be alive. He may see the brightness of the sun and all the beauty of the sunrise and the sunset. He may be able to see creation. He may be able to see the beauty of the world. But the Bible says that he is in darkness. And this was the darkness that God's children were in before they were given the light. What exactly does this mean? It simply means that they think that they are living, but in fact they are dead. They are dead in sin. They think that the things that matters in this life can be handled with our hands, can be seen with our eyes. And so they will spend every moment of their life accumulating these treasures. That is darkness. Because they think that this is the meaning of life. The meaning of life means the accumulation of wealth. The meaning of life means to do good to others. The meaning of life would be dictated by man himself. Man will determine his own destiny and his own definition of God and his own definition of hell and punishment and heaven. And he's living in darkness. For the simple reason is, he's never been to hell, he's never been to heaven. How does he know what they look like? He's living based upon a figment of his own imagination. He may have heard it from another person, he may have read it from a book, or he may have plucked it from somewhere, but it is still of the earth. He's living in darkness because he will spend the best years of his life, every ounce of his energy, pursuing a castle in the air. At the end of life, he will have a very rude shock. He had been living in darkness. Are you walking in darkness or in the light? Because Jesus is not telling us that I will show you the light. He says, I am the light. I am the light. I'm not pointing you to the light. We will point people to the light. John the Baptist's singular purpose in life was to be the forerunner of Christ. And the Bible tells us that he himself said, I'm not the light. I'm here to bear witness to that light, the light that will come. He is the Lamb of God that will take away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ is the light. What does that mean? That means literally you follow in his footsteps. You do exactly what Jesus says in the whole Bible. There must first and foremost be in the heart of every Christian a desire to obey the whole counsel of God, knowing full well that we can never fulfill all the commandments of God perfectly, but we can fulfill all the commandments of God. Do you know that you can fulfill all the Ten Commandments in the Bible? Every single Ten Commandments in the Bible, as a Christian, you can fulfill every single one of them, without exception, including commandment number one. Commandment number two. Commandment number three. Every single one of them, every Christian can keep them. We cannot keep them perfectly, but we can keep all of them. All of them without exception. Because it is now the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path to guide us on how to live a holy life. The Word of God is the key, dearly beloved. How is your attitude toward the Word of God? Thank God that last night I received an email that the Adult Fellowship has planned to start a men's Bible study group. That's great news. We've been praying for this for the past few weeks and months. And now finally the Lord has laid upon the heart of someone to start. But the person also realized that it is easy to start. It is not easy to sustain it because it needs perseverance. The lecturer who will take charge of this Bible study group, thank God, is Reverend Das Koshi, and they will begin by studying 1st and 2nd Peter once a month, every Friday, first Friday of the month, I believe. And they are going to launch this pretty soon, I believe, in the next few weeks. Will you men take up the challenge and come and study God's Word together? Many of the wives, the ladies in our church, they have taken this initiative many, many years ago. They are way ahead of the men, to our shame. Is there no interest in the Word of God? Because how are we going to follow in the footsteps of Christ outside of the Word of God? You look at creation. Creation, the Bible tells us, is enough to tell us two things about God. That He exists and He is a powerful God. The testimony of creation, according to Romans chapter 1, teaches us that it is sufficient to condemn an atheist to hell, so much so that he will be without excuse. And this is also taught in Psalm 19. And the second half of Psalm 19 tells us that in order for us to be saved, in order for us to understand sanctification, we need special revelation. And that is the Word of God. And the Bible says in Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. We need the Word of God, dearly beloved, and that is one of the first marks of someone who is born again, for the Word of God is milk and meat to our soul. Is there no thirst and no hunger for the truth of God? If we do not know the Word of God, how are we going to follow in the footsteps of Christ? Because that's exactly what it means. You and I do not have the prerogative to dictate and tell the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for dying for me on the cross of Calvary. Thank you for reserving for me a place in heaven. But from now onwards, please let me live my life my way. I only need the light that will shine the way to heaven. I don't need your light to help me walk on earth. Remember, this is in the present tense. Anyone, you may follow me. There is no discrimination. Anyone. Doesn't matter what color of skin, doesn't matter what kind of education, doesn't matter whether you have a status or standing in society or not. It does not matter in the eyes of God. Anyone who desires, who determines in his heart to follow present tense continuously in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot walk in darkness because you have the light of the Lord in your heart, the light of life. The light of life. Sometimes, When we survey the Christian scene, we get confused. We have on the one hand the liberal Christianity. On the other hand, we have the extreme form of Christianity which we call the legalism. And so we get confused. What exactly is the right way to live a Christian life? What exactly is the right way? And so, to the Christians who are more carnal, we will walk as close to the precipice, as close to the cliff, without tripping over. And so we will play the fool with the world. Have I sinned? Well, I have not sinned. I'm just playing the fool with the world. I'm not burnt yet. I've not been burnt yet. So it's maybe okay. And so we allow the fashions of the world to dictate our dressing, the fashion of the world to dictate our vocabulary, our speech, our likes, our dislikes. And we allow the world to dictate to us how we regard and relate to one another. Divorce is so common today, it has no more shame to be a divorcee. People have no problem filling up the application form. I'm a divorcee, no problem. They'll speak it out loud. There was a time when I remember as a young boy, it was still a shame. There was a stigma attached to someone who is a divorcee, but not today. And so when Christian husbands and wives, when they have a little tiff, a little misunderstanding, a quarrel, and because of pride, nobody takes the first step. Divorce, divorce, divorce. First thing that comes in their mind, you can't live with me, I can't live with you. Not compatible. 3 years of separation, automatic divorce. And the church does nothing. Now let me just move on. Is that the light of the life? Is that the light of the world? Is that how the Lord wants us to follow in His footsteps? When we do business, we follow the way of the world. We do not stand on Christian principles and trust in the Lord by faith to see us through. And so sometimes we do things we know we ought not to do in order to get that contract, to get that business. Do we do that? Young people, when you survey the internet, do you click onto those pornographic sites? Do you indulge in the vices that are so common among young people nowadays? Smoking, drinking, gambling, premarital sex, fornication. Thou shalt never absolutely walk in darkness. No two ways, either or. And God is not mocked by our deception. You go to RA movies, well, they want Academy Awards, so therefore it must be good. And so we dress it up by saying, well, this is cultural. Cultural, so it's okay, cultural, to indulge in pornographic material. We dress it up euphemistically and call this art. This is art, so it's okay. True? The world loves to dress sin up in beautiful terminologies, alternate lifestyle. And we bought into it. Have we not? It is seen in our life. It is seen in our attitude. RA movies, I'm an adult, I can dictate, I can determine, and we go. And parents will bring their children along as well, sadly. Where is the light of life that the Bible speaks of? Where is the discipleship that Jesus demands from every believer? Follow in His footstep. Do we really believe in what Jesus says, or do we believe in what the Pharisee says? The Pharisees basically charge Him with being a liar. Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. It is not true. Are they right or are they wrong? Can a person alone bear record of himself? Is it possible for a person alone to bear record of himself? Jesus answered and said unto them, verse 14 and verse 15, He will vindicate Himself. Singular witness, very, very acceptable. Dual witness, also very, very acceptable. And He fulfilled both. Verse 14, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. Why? For I know whence I came and whither I go. You know an ambassador? An ambassador is sent by a foreign country. He will go to another country and he will represent the country because he came from the country. He was sent by the king or the leader of that country, the president of the country. And because he came from that country, he knows where he came from and he can describe to this foreign king, my country is like this, 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 and that. The Pharisees understood this concept very well because they knew about ambassadors. And so for them to twist what the Lord Jesus Christ says, it was a deliberate, direct, frontal assault on the credibility and the integrity of the truth and the claim of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had seen enough of his miracles, they have heard enough of his teachings, and basically what they are saying to his face is that you are a liar. And Jesus confirms this in the last couple of verses of this chapter. And Jesus says, your father is Satan because he is the father of lies. Is that not what we are saying to the Lord? We may not use the same words. We may say that we are believers, we are Christians, but if we indulge in sin and we walk in darkness, we fool ourselves. At least the Pharisees don't fool themselves. They tell Jesus exactly what they feel about him. They did not pay him lip service. They literally blatantly say, well, you are not telling us the truth. Jesus says, I know where I come from and I'm telling you exactly the truth. And I back it up by my credentials, my miracles. Only God can do these miracles. Nicodemus understood this. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. As far as all of you Pharisees are concerned, you can only judge based upon what you see. And Jesus says, I judge no man at this point in time. For he did not come as a Messiah to judge. He came first as the suffering Messiah to die for your sins and for my sins. But when he will come the second time, then he will judge. He will come as the judge of judges, the king of kings and the lord of lords. But not at this point in time, not in his first coming. In his second coming, he will. Because Jesus Christ was not sent into this world by God to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:17. Sometimes we fall into this danger by telling people a gospel that is not so complete. We say, if you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you go to hell. We say that sometimes to people, don't we? Do you know that that is not a really very correct, very accurate? Because the counter argument is this. So if I have not heard of the Lord Jesus Christ, then I won't go to hell. Because how can I believe in him and I have not heard of him? This is only true if God sent Jesus into the world to condemn the world. Then you must listen to Jesus Christ once. You must listen to the gospel once before God can condemn you. If God has sent Jesus to condemn the world. Is that not true? But the Bible says that God did not send Jesus to condemn the world. Why? Because the world is already under condemnation. So whether you have heard of the Lord Jesus Christ or not, whether God sent the Lord Jesus Christ or not, every single human being born of human father and mother, you and I are all sinners and we're all bound for hell. And if God does not send Jesus Christ to die for us, he is very justified to send every one of us to hell. So he is not obliged to allow everyone to hear the gospel once before he sends them to hell. That is only true if God sent Jesus to condemn the world. But God never sent Jesus to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And therefore, when we preach the gospel, don't just simply say you do not believe in Jesus Christ, you will go to hell. Yes, it's true. Because when you reject the only way who can save you, the Lord Jesus Christ, you reject the only one and the only way that can deliver you from the bondage of sin, you will surely go to hell. And you will compound your own sin by your rejection of Christ. And they must understand this. They are rejecting the good news. What you have given to them is not a threat, but you have offering to them the grace and the mercies of God, and they turn it down. And because they turn it down, they will die in their sin, and they will therefore end up in hell, and ultimately in the lake of fire for all eternity. And that's why Jesus says, I judge no man, but you judge according what you see, the flesh. Watch out. Don't be so quick to dismiss the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you walking in darkness or in the light? There are evidences after evidences pointing to Christians so that they can study the word, internalize it, examine their own lives, search their own hearts, search their own soul to see whether they have the fruit of salvation in their lives. Because we are told to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And Paul himself said, I examine myself so that in the course of my preaching the gospel, I may not find myself a castaway. He never took his salvation for granted, and we cannot take our own salvation for granted either. We must constantly examine our own heart to see where we stand. Are you someone who likes to play with sin? And you have no conscience, nothing in your heart to prick you that this is sinful? Check your salvation. Watch out. The only one you fool is yourself. Not your mom, not your dad, not the pastors, the elders, the deacons, nobody but yourself. Please understand the significance of what it means to have the light of life inside us, to be a disciple, a continuous follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, following in his footsteps every step of the way. I have two witnesses, he says in verse 16. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. Why? For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. And this is found in the law in Deuteronomy 17:6 as well as Deuteronomy 19:15. And it is also applied to us in Matthew 18, verse 16. As far as human judgments are concerned, you need two witnesses before you can condemn a person to death. Of course, you have to have two honest witnesses. If the witnesses are bought, that's exactly what they did to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul. False witnesses. You're talking about true witnesses. You need at least two. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. At his baptism, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. At his transfiguration. So the Father bore witness of the Son, and the Son himself bore witness of himself. And there are no two witnesses more superior than the Father and the Son. And so the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled all the laws that was needed to demonstrate that his witness is true, that I am indeed the light. Anyone who desires to follow me, to walk in the light, you must stay away absolutely from darkness. Will you? The fashion of the world is so strong. The fashion of the world dictates the way that we dress, the way that we do our hair up, the way that we put on our clothes, we put on our pants, our skirts, our dresses, everything. Now, young people like to put tattoos. They like to put all kinds of funny stuff onto their own body. They don't wear one earring, they wear multiple earrings. And men do likewise nowadays. Men also have earrings, multiple earrings. We are living in a crazy world, an upside-down world. There is no absolute. Everything is relative. You just do what is right in your own eyes, and everybody will accept it, and everybody will say fine. And Christians are treading in the same direction, sadly. At least professing Christians. But Jesus says otherwise. Are you truly born again? Do you really have the light of life? Then walk no more in darkness, but in the light. In the things that you consider as entertainment. In the things that you consider as recreational. There are certain places that Christians must never be found in. There are certain jobs and certain things that Christians must never, never do as Christians. Clubbing. Christians, for whatever reason, must never go clubbing. That's the place called modern Sodom and Gomorrah. All these places, bars, bar top dancing, drinking. People go there to drink and to indulge in all kinds of immorality. Why must Christians be found there? Don't hide and deceive yourself by saying that, well, socializing, it's okay. Everyone is doing it. I need to be part of the crowd in order to know and rub shoulders with people who are my bosses so that I can get promoted. Promotion doesn't come from compromise. Promotion comes from the Lord. Nowhere else. There is enough professing Christians presenting to the world what a diluted Christianity is. Will you make a difference where the Lord has placed you and truly shine forth as light as the Lord Jesus Christ demands from all of us? In Matthew chapter 5, ye are the salt and the light of the world. Why would God like something and then cover it up in a bushel? A light is always placed high up in a city, especially for travelers who travel in the dark, dangerous terrain in Palestine. They need the light to direct them so that they will head in the right direction. And that's what a light on a hill is supposed to do. And you and I are not to reflect our own kind of light. We are to be like the moon, reflecting the true light, that is the light of the sun, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what our lives must be. At home, in school, in our places of work, wherever we go, in church, no exception, we must bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yesterday, today, and forever, every day of our lives, constantly. Where we fail, we ask the Lord to forgive us, and we march on. God does not demand from us perfection because he knows that we are not perfect, but he demands holiness. Why? Because he is holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Strive toward holiness constantly. That's what it means to walk in the light. Are you walking in darkness or in the light? The Lord knows. We do not know because we cannot see the heart. We do not want to judge anyone because we cannot see the heart. Let the word of God judge each and every one of us, our own heart, our own life. Let us be all honest with God, whom we know he sees all things. He knows all things. He knows why we are here. He knows the motive and the reason why we give our tithe and offering. He knows everything about us, inside out. And some of us may still be walking in darkness. And he knows. And some of us think that we are walking in the light, but in reality, we are walking in darkness, and he knows. And those who are truly walking in the light, he also knows. You be strengthened, you persevere on, and you do not give up. Even if everyone around you is collapsing, you hold on. You remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Will you? Are you walking in darkness or in the light? Please do not think that the Lord is not in control. Verse 20 tells us, as he taught in the temple, no man laid hands on him. Why? For his hour was not yet come. They could not touch him. They hated him. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to crucify him, but they could not touch him. Why? Because his hour was not yet come. He was in control of the entire situation. The Pharisees thought they had all the power at their fingertips because they were the spiritual rulers. Who was really in control? The Lord Jesus Christ. The light of the world. You think you're in control of your life? He is in control. Not you, not me. Not the Pharisees, not the president, not the prime minister, the Lord Jesus Christ. He bears his own witness, and the Father bears witness of this. You reject him, you call him a liar. You accept him, he will be your savior, your Lord, your master. Then follow him. Constantly, continuously, and depart from darkness, from evil, because now you have the light of life. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, sanctify us, O Lord, by thy truth, for thy word is truth. May thy Holy Spirit examine every heart, that we may know where we stand before thee, if we truly have the light of life in our lives. May we depart from evil and do not walk in darkness absolutely. Forgive us, Father, for the many times when we have stumbled, we have sinned, and we have fallen short of thy glory. Cleanse us and wash us by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And help us, Father, to know that in the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the light of the world, and He is my light in particular. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.